We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, and uncovers how God fulfills his promises and makes himself known to the world through his presence. Pastor Jeff will get started in just a moment, but first, we want to tell you that you can find many more resources to help you grow in your walk at PastorJeff.com. And that's also where you can sign up for weekly email devotions from Pastor Jeff. Visit PastorJeff.com today to sign up for encouragement right in your inbox. Now here's today's program.
Worship is central to why God's presence shows up. Now, we've talked about this. God is everywhere. Psalm 139 says there's nowhere we can go that God isn't. He's everywhere. But there are times where God manifests his presence and shows up. Sometimes it happens in church. You're listening to a sermon and the preacher is preaching and he's preaching the word, but all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is preaching to you in your heart. You're not even listening to the words that the preacher's saying because the Holy Spirit is using the word to speak directly to you. Sometimes you're worshiping with a song and the Holy Spirit's ministering directly to you. Sometimes you're praying, the Holy Spirit's ministering directly to you. Sometimes you're just sitting there like, I don't even know what's going on, but God's presence is so strong. He's ministering to you for the purpose of that you would see that he's worthy of all your praise and he's jealous for you. He yearns for you. He wants your worship. He wants your attention. He wants you to know that he created you, that he loved you enough to send Jesus for you. His own son was slaughtered on a cross for you who died. He rose from the dead for you. He wants to offer life to you. He loves you. He's wanting it to be reciprocated. That's what worship is. It's you living your life knowing how thankful you are for the glory of God and all the wonders that he has done for you. And he says, Tear down their gods. Don't listen to them. Don't participate. Don't show love to them. I mean, we live in a culture where we're afraid to talk about the culture because that's mean. Friends, I believe in two genders because the Bible teaches two genders. I'll tell you, on Pride Month, I believe that God created male and female and there are no other genders. I'll tell you that. And I'll tell you that why he created those two genders was for marriage. And the reason he created for marriage is because he wanted to have godly offspring. And the reason he wanted to have godly offspring is so that he would be worshiped from generation to generation to generation. And we can stand in church and clap because we as Christians, we all believe there are only two genders. We all know that. And Pastor Jeff, you say that all the time. We're good. Yeah, we're good. I'm telling the non-believers there's only two genders. And I love you enough to tell you there are only two genders because the Bible makes clear that no practicing homosexual will enter the kingdom of God. And I love you enough because I don't want you to go to hell that you should repent and you should trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Not because I don't like you, but because I love you, I'm telling you this. That's what God was saying to do in the culture. In a culture where we hate kids and we hate the unborn and we offer them as a sacrifice, in the same way that when Moses was being raised up as a deliverer, they were killing all the boys under the age of two. In the same way when Jesus was being raised up, they killed all the boys under the age of two. The same way that God is raising up deliverers in our generation and we're killing all the babies in our culture. You can't call a nation Christian that kills all the infants. And that's not just a church speak. That's for the culture to hear that Jesus Christ is Lord and we want to worship you. So we're not afraid to tear down that idol to child sacrifice for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one who created life, and that's wrong. That's what he's saying to do. And I knew I was only gonna get a golf clap because many of you think that's the pastor's job to preach against. I'm not preaching against, I'm preaching for what is true. And if we don't take what's true to the culture, then how will the culture ever change? If we only sit in little huddles in the church and say, well, we all believe this, but those people out there don't, let's pray for them. Here's what I would say. Let's believe it. Let's pray for them. Let's go tell them why they need to repent and trust Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior and do something about it. That's what the gospel would teach. It's worship. It aligns our worship. He says, if you don't do that, verse 15 says what might happen. Otherwise, you might make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and they would play the harlot with their gods and sacrifice to their gods. And someone might invite you to eat his sacrifice and you might take some of his daughters for your sons and his daughters might play the harlot with their gods and cause your sons also to play the harlot with their gods. What's he saying? If you don't destroy and point out the false gods in your culture, you'll probably partner with them. And when you partner with them, then you're not serving me anymore. I am the Lord. I don't have a partnership. You can't worship sports and worship God and call it Christian. You can't worship America and worship God and call it Christian. You can't worship money and worship God and call it Christian. You can only worship God. There is no other way to worship. So he says, tear it all down. And if you don't, you'll end up partnering with people that don't love me. You'll give them as daughters to your sons. They'll intermarry. And when you have a Christian that marries a non-Christian, you know what kind of marriage you have? You have a non-Christian marriage. And then you have non-Christian offspring. And then you don't have generations of faithfulness and fruitfulness. He says, my worship is so important. I show up with my presence so that you will know that I'm worthy of all your praise. That's what he says. And worship is awesome. The true worship of God when his presence comes is awesome. One of the first times I ever had an experience with the presence of God, I was serving at a charismatic church when I was in seminary for a weekend. I'd never really been in a charismatic church. I'd heard things about charismatic churches. I'd heard there were going to be like healings. I'd heard there might be deliverance. I heard people spoke in tongues. I knew nothing about any of those things. And I was journaling the night before, and I was writing in my journal, like, Lord, how come I don't speak in tongues yet? And how come I've never really seen this stuff? And Lord, why are you holding out on me? Am I missing something? That was my prayer the night before. The next day, there were about 17 of us that were going to be ministering to kids throughout the weekend. And the guy that was the speaker got up, and he said, before you guys meet the kids tonight, I want to minister to you now. I thought that meant he was going to speak for a half an hour or something. And next thing I know, all I remember, somebody started strumming on the guitar, and it was as if in this room, a heavy cloud came on us and just vroom. I almost began to weep. I'm like, what in the world is going on? What did I walk into? I'd never experienced anything like this in my life. There were stairs around the platform of the worship center, which we were in, which is about a room this size, and I went up and sat on them. And as he began to lay hands on people and pray for them, and I was watching, and I couldn't even hear what he was saying, I just began weeping. I mean, I was like tearing up. And I was asking the Lord, what is this? What's going on? And I was about the third person, and he kind of pointed at me, and he walked over to me, and he walked behind me. And when he put his hands on my shoulders, I began to sob. Like not, I mean like sob. Uncontrollable snot coming out of my nose, sob. But I felt the presence of the Lord so strong, and this guy whispers in my ear, and he says, stop looking for signs and wonders. You'll cast out demons, you will heal people, you'll see the dead rise, but rejoice because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then he went on to tell me about planting churches and all these other things, and everything was resonating with my heart. My heart was totally warm. I'm sobbing. I'm like, how does this guy know me? When that experience was done, I didn't want to get to know that guy better. I didn't want the gifts he had. You know what I wanted? I wanted to worship Jesus even more because it was a touch from heaven. Amen? God gives gifts in the church, and God shows his presence in the church, not so that we'll look for people and not so we'll worship people or not so we can learn how to do things. It's so that we can see how alive and real God is. And do you realize when we get to heaven, what we get to experience? The ongoing, forever, eternal presence of the Lord. If your heart does not yearn for that, you don't know him well enough yet. The great pastor A.W. Tozer from a generation ago said it like this. He said, I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored or turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. So all we're going to do is like worship. That's what we're going to do. We're going to worship. It's going to be the most filling experience that we've ever had that's ongoing forever and ever. Amen. Worship alone changes us. It satisfies us like nothing else. It's what you were designed and created for. It changes our perspective, our focus, our heart, our peace. When you're worshiping the Lord, you can experience greatness in your life, even if nothing around you or the people around you never change. And notice what he says in verse 17. I love this because God's so practical. He tells him again, you shall make for yourself no molten gods. Here's what he says. Don't do what you already did. Don't go back to the gods that you once served. You already made a golden calf. Don't go make another one. Some of you are tempted to go serve the gods that you served in grade school or the gods that you served in high school or the gods that you served in college or the gods that you served last decade. Here's the truth. God is a forgiving, loving God. He's willing to forgive your whole past. And then he would say this, so don't go back. Just don't go like crush that, put that out of your life. I know you experienced that. I forgive you for that. But now come with me. Let's go on a journey. Worship me. Put me in the center of all that you are. So keep in mind, God's presence doesn't show up just so we can get all giddy about his presence showing up someplace and get on a plane and fly there and be like, oh, it's cool. God's presence doesn't show up so that you'll tingle. God's presence doesn't show up so you feel cool. God's presence shows up because he yearns for your life to worship him with everything that you are. That's the benefit and the purpose of his presence. He wants more worshipers. Why do we share the gospel? Why do we want to see people saved? So we have more worshipers. Why do we come to church? So we can grow in our ability to worship with our lives. And I can tell you this. I mean, I've been in lots of services over the time. Music may not do it for you in every place. I mean, the speaker may not do it for you in every place. I mean, you know, the routine or ritual you go may not do it. But I'm telling you this. When the presence of God shows up, it doesn't matter where you are.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, uncovering how God fulfills his promises and makes himself known to the world through his presence. We'll return to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But before we do, we want to help you develop the habit of daily prayer and scripture reading by sending you the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, which includes daily Bible readings, prayer prompts, and space to journal your prayers. It's our thanks for your gift of support today. To request your copy, simply go to PastorJeff.com and give a gift to keep teachings like this one today going strong through Brave Media. Again, that's PastorJeff.com. Now, let's return to today's teaching.
Why do we come to church? So we can grow in our ability to worship with our lives. And I can tell you this. I mean, I've been in lots of services over the time. Music may not do it for you in every place. I mean, the speaker may not do it for you in every place. I mean, you know, the routine or ritual you go may not do it. But I'm telling you this. When the presence of God shows up, it doesn't matter where you are. I was in a church in Post, Texas one time. It was the pastor's last Sunday there after being there for 3 years. You know how people were in the church to say goodbye to him? Everybody came. There were 24 people there, including me. And the presence of the Lord was so strong calling me to ministry in this little West Texas town that I cried so hard my contacts popped out of my eyes. And I don't even remember what he preached on, but all I remember is this little old lady that was like 80 afterward. She came up to me. It was just me. And she's like, y'all want some saline? And I'm like, yeah, I guess I do because I need to get my contacts back in my eyes. But God was speaking to me so deeply about my calling to ministry, but I wasn't expecting it, especially in a church. The way they started worship was the son of the pastor said, what hymns y'all want to sing? Somebody said Amazing Grace, so we played that and we sang that. I don't remember what the pastor spoke on. I know that God was speaking to me about my calling to preach the word. And I was undone. That's presence. That's a benefit. We talked about dedicating time. We talked about dedicating devotion. We talked about saying, Lord, change me. When that is your heart, you will experience the presence of God. And here's why he does it, so you'll worship him better. That's number one. Here's number two. God's presence not only empowers allegiance to the worship of God, God's presence empowers alignment to the ways of God. Alignment to the ways of God. Not only allegiance to the worship of God, but alignment to the ways of God. Notice what he says in verse 18. He's going to tell them how to worship. You shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread as I commanded you at the appointed time in the month of Abib. For in the month of Abib, you came out of Egypt. Abib would be around March or April. He says, the first offspring from every womb belongs to me. All your male livestock, the first offspring from cattle and sheep. You shall redeem with a lamb, the first offering from a donkey. And if you do not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. You shall redeem all the firstborn of your sons. None shall appear before me empty-handed. What's he doing? He's saying, I'm going to prescribe to you the way I want to be worshiped, and I want you to worship like this. I want you to do exactly what I'm telling you. The New Testament tells us how to worship. New Testament says, go to a place where the word of God is read. Go to a place where the word of God is proclaimed. Go to a place where the worship of God is prominent. Go to a place where people gather and pray. Go to a place where people are committed to gathering together. Go to a place where people are committed to reaching the lost. Go to a place where people are committed to the glory and honor of my name. I mean, he tells us and spells it out. For Israel, here's what he tells them. You're going to celebrate three festivals. This is the first one, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. For 7 days during this festival, eat unleavened bread. Now, you can imagine year one and be like, okay, we'll eat unleavened bread. Year 11, what are you going to say? Dad, why do we have to eat this unleavened bread every day? Can't we just cheat one day? No. Why? Because this is what God prescribes for us to worship his name. Here's what I want you to do. And then he says this, every bit of prosperity you have, it comes from me. Because this is an agricultural society, hey, when your lambs give birth, when your donkeys give birth, the first one belongs to me. I want you to sacrifice your first to me because I want you to know that when you prosper, I'm the one that's bringing you prosperity. Now, I know most of us don't struggle with, you know, breaking the neck of a donkey versus giving a lamb. What was he saying? He was saying, since donkeys are good creatures for working, I'll let you keep the donkey, but you're going to need to redeem it with something, so bring a lamb. In other words, you can't just receive blessing from me without giving me the worship and honor I deserve for what I'm giving to you. And by the way, when it comes to your children, I want you to present them to me. I don't want you to offer them as a sacrifice like pagan nations do and killing their babies. I want you to offer them to me and dedicate them to me so that you will know that your family belongs to me and that the next generation belongs to me. Because God believes in the family for the propagation of the gospel. So dedicate them to me. Right, it's kind of what Hannah did for Samuel. She said, if you give me a son, just give me a son, I'll dedicate him to you. She dedicated him to the Lord. He became the first prophet of the nation of Israel. Dedicate your kids to me, he says. Then he says this, he gets into the Sabbath. He says in verse 21, now notice this, you shall work 6 days, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during plowing time and harvest, you shall rest. Now we've talked about rest before. Rest does not mean sitting on your laurels and doing nothing. Rest means being reminded of and reflecting on all the goodness that God has done in your life. That's rest. So he says, from Friday night at dusk until Saturday night at dusk, that's a day set aside to me. And what you're going to do on that day, you're going to worship me. You're going to remember all I've done for you during the week. You're going to give me honor and worship and praise. You're going to pause. And he says this, even during the busy seasons, even when it's plowing and harvest season. And you say, well, thank goodness I'm a New Testament Christian. I don't have to keep the Sabbath. Man, praise the Lord. The principle still applies. Is there a day you set aside a week to give God your best? Even during the busy times, even when your kids are at summer camp, even during the sports seasons, even when you're on holiday, even when it's the summer, even when it's ski season now, I'm gone for 3 months, it's summer, I'm out for 2 months, it's kids fall basketball season, I'm out for another. No matter what, if you're gonna walk in God's ways, you have to do what God wants you to do. You can't experience his presence just automatically. I mean, there's times God touches us uniquely because he's gracious and he does that. But if you're going to experience his ongoing presence in your life, you have to walk in God's ways. You have to preference him. I think a New Testament equivalent would be coming to church, but not coming to church, not driving to church, not sitting at church, not being skeptical of church, not saying, well, I'm here. I hope it's a good message. I'm here. I hope they sing the songs I like. Well, I'm here. No. Coming to contribute, coming to serve, coming to build, coming to be poured into, coming saying, Lord, change me, coming to say, who can I bless today and who can I pour into today? Lord, I'm making this central. I'm making this what my family does because we're going to be all about you as a family. Then he talks about the two other festivals. You shall celebrate the Feast of Weeks, that is the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of the Ingathering at the turn of the year. So you had the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, then you had the Feast of Weeks, which was called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Pentecost. It would be at the beginning of the season where you'd bring your first fruits to God. When your crops blossomed, you would bring God your first and your best. And then the Feast of the Ingathering, which was in early autumn, where you would also bring more of your crops. So three times a year, you're going to worship in this way. And notice what he says. Verse 23, three times a year, all your males, we already studied all this, all your males are to appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. So three times a year, guys, during these weeks, you go to Jerusalem and you worship me. You do that. Why? Because you're modeling for your family that the Lord is the most important worship in your life. Guys, today, model it for your family. If you're married, you lead your family to church because they need to see daddy saying, I believe Jesus is Lord. And as a family, that's what we're going to prioritize. If you're a single guy, you're going to model it because you're going to be here saying, I love Jesus and I'm a single guy and I preference the Lord. Gals, if you're looking to get married, look for the guy that's already coming to church. Don't date the guy who never did until they dated you. And then you're like, well, he goes to church now. You don't want that dude. You don't want that brother. You want the brother that's been sitting under anointed preaching for a while that can already tell you. And when you start dating him, he's leading you to church. He's telling you where to go because he knows the ways of the Lord. Now, I know what guys would say. The guys would have said 2,000 years ago what they're going to say right now. Watching all these girls out there. Oh, yeah. It's good. Because guys are going to say, man, I got to work. I can't turn the company over. I mean, I'm not going to make any money during those 3 weeks. I can't take it. I mean, what if somebody breaks in? I got to take care of my family. I got to be around. God knows that. So what does God say? God says this. You appear before the Lord. He says in verse 24, for I will drive out nations before you and enlarge your borders, and no man shall covet your land when you go up 3 times a year to appear before the Lord. What does God say? Not only will I protect your family, and not only will I protect your crops, I'll expand your borders. What's that mean? If you do what God wants you to do, he will enlarge your influence. If you do things in the way that God wants you to do them, he will expand things for you. Business guy, listen up. Businesswoman, listen up. If you prioritize the worship of the Lord, that is the secret sauce for your business expanding. It's praying and saying, Lord, this is your business, and I'm bringing you the first fruits of my business, and I want you to bless it and do all this, and I'm giving it to you because you own it all, and you give, and you can take away, and it's all yours, and I just want you to be honored. That's when God begins to expand your influence, because then God knows that you know that he's the one that's giving you the blessing, and it's not just you looking for more stuff to hold into your hands. Amen? That's the principle that he's teaching them. He's like, hey, you got to walk in my ways, and this is the way I want you to walk. I want you, 3 times a year, men, you come and do this. Then he says this, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover to be left over until morning. He's reminding them of what it was like when they did the Passover. They finished the meal. They did all this. He's prescribing the ways to worship. It means we need to do worship the way God prescribes for us to do. Then in verse 26, he says this, you should bring the very first of the first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. What was he telling them? Most of them were an agricultural society. Most of them were shepherds. They were farmers. They were herders. He was saying this, when you prosper, you bring me the first of your prosperity. That's what it looks like. Again, most of us say, thank goodness I'm a new covenant Christian. I'm not responsible for any of that. Well, here's the reality. Here's the reality. You don't have to tithe. You mean I'm not sinning if I don't tithe? No. Whew. You're just not worshiping. Because for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And if you can't worship the Lord with the first fruits of your money, you're not worshiping. If the Lord doesn't have your pocketbook, and some of you are saying, well, good thing I don't have a job yet. If you have any income at all, you babysit and make 10 bucks, a dollar should go to the Lord. I mean, get in the habits, because if you're faithful with little, you'll be faithful with much. And tithing has nothing to do with God needing your money. Tithing has to do with your heart giving worship to God and walking in his ways. That's what it looks like. So those of you that are angry with me for saying that to you, you're probably angry because you're not worshiping and you just got called out. And for those that love the Lord, there's something in you that says, I don't know if we can trust God with this money or what, but we're going to try because I love the Lord and I want him to get the first fruits of what we have. I mean, that's what it looks like. So he's telling them, I want your heart. And if I have your heart, you're going to walk in my ways. If you walk in my ways, it means everything that you benefit from comes back to me first so that I know that you're recognizing that I'm the one that's done it for you.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, The Purpose of God's Presence, from the series Exodus, uncovering how God fulfills his promises and makes himself known to the world through his presence. Before we let you go, be sure to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, which helps you make prayer a priority in your life this year. It's our thanks for your gift of support today. To request your copy when you give today, go to pastorjeff.com. And while you're there, remember to sign up for email updates from Brave so you never miss new resources designed to equip you for courageous living. That's PastorJeff.com. Thank you for joining us today.